Hello and welcome. This message was recorded live at Church at the Well. We meet at 119 Bellagio Circle in Sanford, Florida, at the intersection of St. John's Parkway and Uppsala. For more information, please visit our website at www.jesusstuff.org.
If you have your Bibles this morning, turn over to Mark chapter 1, verse 23. I have quite a bit of scripture I want to read this morning. And that's a good thing, reading scripture in church is good. In fact, I would question churches that don't. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. Before I read, I just want to kind of just say something real quick. I sensed a awkwardness this morning. Anyone else sense that this morning? I sensed there was an awkwardness to service this morning. I can tell you, since the shifting, I believe, since Scott Hunter came and since the word that came after he was here, there's been a tremendous amount of shift or change or whatever you want to call it that I believe has happened. I know for me personally, and I also believe for this church, and I've heard from many of you has occurred in your own lives. And has it been easy? Anyone, has it been an easy movement, an easy shift? No. I believe that is continuing, and today there's going to be some equipping, some empowering to you to help you get through what we've been walking out. But I know that over the last couple of days, God knew what was on my heart because He placed it there, but the enemy, I believe, also knew. And there was many things that he tried to do, to distract what's going to be released today. And one of the silliest things this morning, we ran out of ink for my printer. Of all things, ran out of ink for my printer. Okay? And because I always print my notes right before I leave the house. And so now I'm like, oh no, what do I do? I started stressing out because God made me this way and I use my notes. And that's how I preach, and because He gave me a lot of stuff, and sometimes because my finite mind can't remember everything the infinite God puts in there, I have to rely on the notes and the words that He gives me as I prepare during the week. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't print. And then quickly Holy Spirit said, print it at the church. And I was like, hallelujah, answer the prayer. And but what I do know is when I came in here, I knew there was something. And I use the word awkwardness because that's what I kind of felt within myself. There's an awkwardness, maybe a little obstacle to what is going on in individuals' lives. Maybe it's only in me. I don't know. But just be aware, because as I share, like with to me, the way music ended and when I came up, I just sensed an awkwardness in that. Okay? And that had nothing to do with Pastor Rob. To me, it was in the spirit. And so I just want us to be prepared, be keen on that, and let's just be aware of what's going on. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. It says here, just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Now turn real quickly over to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 33. Verse 33, chapter 4. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon drew the man down before them all and came out without injury. So there's two accounts of this episode, this event that occurred at the synagogue. Turn over now to Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could talk, both talk and see. Now turn over to Mark chapter 9, verse 20. I told you there's a lot of verses today. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you and come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus has gone indoors, his disciple asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out? He replied. He replied, This kind can come out only by prayer. Everything I was reading here, it deals with the impure spirits, or what I would like to say, the demonic realm. Do you guys believe that there is a devil? Do you believe that he has demons that are roaming the earth that want to hurt you? Do you believe that you have faced these demons? And I'm not talking about your husband or wife or in-laws. All right? That was a joke. But have you faced these demons? Okay? What I believe has happened to all the American church, we have lost focus of the enemy that we fight, and we preach a feel good, I'm blessed message, and we forget the battle that we're being called to. If you read throughout the New Testament, it is a discussion where Christ himself came across demons and casted them out of people. And so I can say this, as this shift has occurred, the demons want to attack you. They want to infiltrate you. They want to envelop you. They want to be in you. They want to destroy you. As Scripture said, they want to steal, kill, and destroy you. And that is the truth. And my point here is, demons are real. The demonic is a real thing. We are too quick to dismiss it. We're too quick to say, "Oh, that's just that person. That's just the way they are. That's just the way they act. That's their personality." Many times, it's not their personality, because I believe people are born with a pure heart and a clean slate. Think about it. As a little baby, if we looked at all you, even those in here that you guys are like, "That guy is a nut job." When they were a little kid, when they were small and little, they were probably precious, kind, loving, and good. What happened? They grew up in a fallen world. They grew up and were infiltrated by the demonic because of different spirits that have attached itself to that person may have allowed, or someone else in their family has allowed. Now, some in here may say, "I don't want to hear about this stuff." Scripture says, "I'm supposed to empower and equip you." I'm empowering you today. I'm going to equip you today. If you don't want to receive it, take it for what it is. Bless you on your way out the door. Hallelujah. Because this is real. Because if there's doubt in you, that is the enemy planting that seed. He doesn't want you to know who he is. It is now in our media. You look at television. He has got a hold of television. He's got a hold of the music that we listen to. He's got a hold of all the things of this earth, because he has been given dominion over this earth. And so everything that we are surrounded by is of Him. And the problem is those things that are around us influence us. They attach themselves to us. I mean, I sit there in the pediatric office. I'll go into a room and I have a six-year-old kid. He's rapping. What is he rapping? What's coming out of his mouth? You don't want to know the things that's coming out. He's rapping some song that he heard. And it's talking about stuff that a six-year-old shouldn't even know. But the thing is now that spirit of perversion, that spirit of lust, that spirit of all whatever junk else that came through that music that the demon has allowed, that the devil wants to perpetuate all over the United States, has now attached itself to that boy. Now that boy is going to grow up and go, oh, this is nothing. And you become immune to the enemy. You become immune to the things that the enemy is trying to do to you. And it becomes normal to you. It becomes, oh, this is okay. I still go to church. I still read my Bible, but this music's okay. But it doesn't. It plants seeds. It plants those things. Scripture talks about, Christ talked about, if it's not of God, get away from it. Even people that are not of God, you're not supposed to be really hanging out with them. Scripture says that. Because the influences that are on them, the spirits that are on them, carries over to us. This is a real thing, people. And I want you guys to be equipped and empowered to be able to battle it. We are in a war. And I can tell you over the last several weeks, I've seen the war come and become so real in my life and in several families' lives. I've seen it attack a family, couple of families on the brink of suicide. That's not of God. That's a person that goes to church and proclaims, I know Jesus, but yet they want to take their own life. That's demonic. That is not of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 12. We all know this. We all know chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says right here, for our struggle, see your struggle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, the thing is if I have a problem with Rob, Pastor Rob, my brother, my friend, okay, it's not a problem with him as an individual. The problem is with the spirit maybe that's in him, or even better yet, the spirit that's within me that won't allow me to connect with him. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not with the individual. It's within the heavenly realms that the battle rages. I have had people in the last several weeks quit, wanting to leave, all these things. I know it's demonic. It's demonic. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but these are things that we're facing. It's demonic. And I can tell you this. If the word of the Lord to you, and I'm not a control freak. I am, well, I am, but I'm not. But you'll hear what I'm saying. I have no control over anybody in this church. The only authority or power I have is what you give me. If you receive me as a pastor, you allow me to speak into your life, hallelujah. If you receive me as Tom Weichart and only as Tom Weichart, then that's what I will be able to sow into you. That's just the way it is. And that's okay. It is what it is. If this is your church home, this is what I want to say today. If this is your church home, because Holy Spirit, not Tom Weichart, not your spouse, not yourself, but Holy Spirit said, this is home. There's only two reasons that you can walk out those doors and say, I'll never come back. One, the word of the Lord comes and changes. You got a new job somewhere else. He wants you to start a ministry somewhere else. He's planning you somewhere else to do. But it's clear. And the only other second reason is if I lost my flipping mind and we're becoming an occult. That's the truth. Because this is the truth. I will offend you. You've offended me. offend each other. But if you have relationship with one another and you know who you're joined to because you're vital in the body here, I need my feet. I need my arms. I need my heart. I need my head. I need the hands. I need the fingers. I need the skin. I need everything here. And if you're called to be part of the body, okay, you can't just cut yourself off and say, I'm leaving. My hand can't cut itself off and say, I don't want to be part of you anymore. I want to go attach myself to Philip down the road. You can't do that. God doesn't work that way. He is a God of order. Trevor and I was talking about some of the issues we deal here in the church. The church here in the United States, one of the big things Holy Spirit showed me after he and I talked is the church doesn't hold people accountable. No one's accountable. They come and go as they want. So-and-so, oh, they don't have this ministry. I need this ministry in my church. Oh, their music stinks. I don't want to go there anymore. His preaching is pretty dry. I don't want to, But the thing, I'm sitting there saying, well, what did Holy Spirit tell you? I imagine those men that was living back in those days, that as they started, there was different works in Ephesus and Corinth and all these other places. They probably didn't have the best music. I don't think they had this kind of music out back in those days. I don't think they had children's ministry back in those days. That's what I'm saying. We lose focus of why we come to church, why we gather. We come together to be equipped and empowered. And then to go out and disciple nations, to go out and spread the gospel, to go out and be a light into a dark world. But the problem is the enemy has come and sold a lie. The enemy has come and has perverted many things. And all he has to do is sow a little doubt in you. Sow a little hurt in you. That's all he has to do. That's all he has to do. Now, our vision here at Church at the Well is to see people saved, healed, set free, equipped, and empowered in order to spread Jesus' good news. And our mission is to love God, love people, and disciple nations. The enemy doesn't want us doing that. Plain and simple. He wants us to eat one another. He wants us to bicker amongst ourselves. He wants us to sit there and go out and be a demonstration of a world and be a hypocrite to our co-workers, to our families. That is what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be empowered. He doesn't want us to be set free. He wants to destroy the vision, not what Tom Weichart said, but what Holy Spirit himself gave to this house. That is what he wants to do. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. The enemy is real. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you folks. And I'm setting the stage because I'm going to explain to you how this happens. 1 John 3, 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Let me repeat that. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Now, earlier in Scripture, it talks about bringing salvation. But here it specifically states to destroy the devil's work. The church forgets that part. We Americans forget that. Us churchgoers on a Sunday morning, we forget that. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Jesus is the answer. The cross is the answer. The blood he shed is the answer. And if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will set you free. And he will destroy the devil's work in your life. And that is the truth. see, the thing is many times we focus on the salvation piece and we miss the Lord piece. We miss the battle that we fight. Turn over to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Says here, Simon, Simon, he's talking about Peter. We all know who Peter is, right? That's his number one, right? That's Jesus' big dog apostle. Whoop, whoop. You know, he's the man, all right? Is his bud. And he goes, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. He's talking about his disciples. Ooh. Think about that for a moment. Satan came to Christ and said, can I sift these guys? I don't think these guys are worthy. Let's test them. And guess what Jesus, I know Jesus said, feel free. Because he did. Because, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Oh, but that spirit of pride. Ooh. But Peter replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. How many Americans say that? How many of us in here say that? I'll die for Jesus. He walked in that door right now. I'll die for him. Right? But you can't even go out and serve the community. You can't even give money to help other people. But I'm going to die for him. It's true. I don't want to serve in the nursery because I need my time off for my child, man. Oh, my goodness. I've heard that before. People have said, I need a break. And you know what? That's the enemy. So Peter then says, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to die, to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you even knew me. See, what God, what Christ wanted, see, what would have been a demonstration is Peter turned around to him and said, Lord, I can't do it without you. I fall on my face before you. It is by your grace and your mercy I'm able to even get through this. But he tried to, he allowed this pride to attach itself to him. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, 1. It's toward the back of the Bible, before Revelation and behind Genesis. That was a joke, again. Ba-dum-bum. John 4, 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now let me ask you this. It says, test all spirits. Where do you think spirits dwell? In you. Because he says here, many false prophets, many people, many men will have these ungodly spirits. These spirits will reside in men. And you have to test them to know if they're of God or of the devil. Now, I want to kind of, I hope I set the tone here to realize the realism of who the enemy is. That it was faced in the beginning of time and is continually being faced by us today. But see, the way it works in us, and I want to give this to you to hopefully it will empower you, enlighten you, and help you figure this out for yourself. What ends up happening, I have found, and and this may not be 100% of the time, but I have to high suspicion, Holy Spirit told me 99% of the time, this is what happens. A hurt occurs to someone. Something painful happens. A person ignores you. You go to work and someone speaks ill of you. You come to church and Pastor Tom doesn't say hello to you. And then you get affected. You go, huh, that hurt. I have pain. Wow. There's a wound. Now there's an emotional event that occurs in you. There's an emotional event going on out there right now. Hallelujah. There's an emotional event. There is pain. Somebody has done something to you in some form or fashion that now your feelings are hurt. Again, I said feelings. I didn't say spirit. Emotion is hurt. Your husband doesn't spend time with you. Your wife doesn't spend time with you. Your wife didn't cook dinner for you tonight. Your husband forgot your birthday. Whatever. Oh, no, that's a big one. Woo! And then as this wound occurs, there's an emotional response that happens. And then watch this. This is what happens. For instance, at work, you have a person. That person, or your, how about this, a boss. This boss is rude to you. Okay? And in fact, that boss is rude to everybody. Anybody has ever had a boss like that? I've had a boss like that. Then what ends up happening is now your feelings are hurt. You're bothered by this person. You're emotional. Then you get around other people. Here we go. Did you see what he said to me? Yes, I did. I can't believe he said that to you. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I can tell you the worst individual sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes, that will have that pity party with the person is your spouse. Because many times the spouse will take on the offense more than the person that had the offense. And then they emotionalize it even more. And now you go home and something that may have been a minor incident that hurt your feelings has now turned into a nuclear bomb just went off. We need to do X, Y, Z. We now are going to change our lives because of that person being rude to you. See, the spouse is to be a helpmate. Husband and wife. Help one another. And I can tell you, my wife will get in my face if I sit there and have a pity party over something stupid. She's like, put on your big boy pants. And it's the truth. Because this is the thing. You sit there and now you're hurt. And now you get around others that are hurt too. Oh my goodness. And now there's a back and forth. And now you're feeding one another. And before I even go any further, is that of God? That's what I want to ask you. Is that of God? There's nowhere in Scripture it says that. When you get hurt, go to other people and you guys talk about the person that hurt you. Nothing. Then you start hearing things. You start playing scenarios in your mind. You ever been there? Somebody hurts your feelings and next thing you know, they freaking stabbed your wife and killed your mom. They're the worst person in the world. Because you start running things in your head and you're like, yeah, yeah. And then you start going back in time. Yeah, oh, I remember when he did that. Oh, my goodness, I remember when he did that. Oh! That's the enemy attacking you. That's the enemy trying to steal your joy. That is the enemy trying to destroy your relationship. Now, am I saying there are not rude people out there? Yes, there's rude people out there. You can't control rude people. You can't control idiots. You can't control stupid people. You can't. You can pray for them. You can humble yourself to them. And as Jesus Christ did, you can serve them. You can love them. See, that's what God would do. But not us. Not the enemy. The enemy wants to rise up. The enemy wants to get upset. And he's poking you. He's poking you, saying you need to act. That person hurt you. And then what he does is he puts other people in your life to continue to poke. And then there's spirits, here we go, that will now come find its place in you. Anger. To me, people say that's an emotional thing. No, that's a spiritual enemy. The spirit of anger. Spirit of jealousy. The spirit of hate. All these things are of the enemy. And what they do is they just need a little opening to be able to get in. And then what they will do is start poking more. And then every time you think about it, for instance, the anger comes in. Every time you think about that person, you get angry. Let me ask you again. Is that of God? Is that of God? Then why do we as believers, the men and women that we have said, Lord, you're our Savior, dwell within us, but yet when someone offends us, we get mad and we stay there. It's very clear in Scripture. Love, humility, serve. So what ends up happening is you have this emotion, this experience. Several things start happening. Anger, guilt, anxiety, rejection. Come on now. Anybody ever been rejected? Heck, some of y'all been rejected by your own spouse. Fear, insecurity. See, these things right here want to attach themselves to you, not to help you, not to make you more aware of what's going on. It's not even there to protect you. It's there to destroy you. It will destroy you and everything around you, and you will grow old and die by yourself. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. It wants to steal from you, and it wants to kill everything you have and destroy your life. That is what he wants to do. So then you have all these things that has attacked you. See, this is the thing. I was reading here. These people, they were an impure spirit dwelt in them. It didn't say what kind of impure spirit. Hello? It didn't say. It just said impure. Then it rises up in you. And then what it starts doing, it starts tempting you. Because see, God won't tempt you. He'll let you go through trials. But there will be temptation that will come. He will stir you. He won't let you think. When you go to bed at night, you sit there and you think about it. You sit there and dwell on it. You wake up, the first thing you think about is not of God, not even your family. First thing you're going to think about is that problem you got going on in your life. And he'll provoke you. Because every time you think you had a breakthrough, he brings it back up. He'll poke it and throw it back in your face, and he'll start poking. And that is what goes on. Then what happens? This is what happens. This has gone on in your life. Oh, time after time after time after time. And the next thing you know, there's things that you now all of a sudden have allowed to creep in to, in order in your heart, protect yourself. You ever hear a man say, I can't have a close relationship with other men? Is that of God? I've heard a lot of men say that. That's not of God. But then what happens is there are these other spirits that will attach itself, or you can call it whatever you want to, attitude, personality. It's the spirit. They will set in and now do everything it can, because now you're going to allow it to protect you from allowing that hurt ever happen again. So then you turn into a control person. I'm going to control everything around me. I'm going to manipulate situations so it doesn't affect me. I'm going to be stubborn. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm not going to forgive. I'm going to hold grudges. Pride will set in. And the worst one, in my personal opinion, is rebellion. Rebellion. Because rebellion is what the enemy did in heaven. He rose up and he said, I'm not doing what you want me to anymore. And then guess what? That grace ended right then. There was no more grace for Satan. And I don't want to be in the fiery pit with him. I don't. I don't want to live my life that way. Now, I'm going to share some personal things with you. Very personal. I've been down this road. I've been down this road. So when I'm preaching to you, I hope it stirs some things in you. Everyone in here has been hurt by somebody. Everyone in here has been affected by somebody in a negative way. But let me tell you, by the grace of God and the love of Jesus, you will get through it. And I'm going to share with you how. I was born in 1968. I'm going to share a personal story. Is that okay with you guys? If I bore you today, just forgive me. I think it's a cool story. I was born in 1968 in Daegu, South Korea. Whoop, whoop. Korea? Yeah? Okay. All right. You better bore. Whoop. You're Korean. You better raise your hands. My two kids better raise a hand in Korean. Anyway, and a lot of this, what I'm going to share with you today, very few people, if any, know everything except my wife. So I'm going to share some very, just like Pastor Rob did some months ago, I'm going to share some things with you. Because I want you to see how the enemy did his work in my life. And then I want to give you the hope and the demonstration of how God set me free. As I was growing up, my mother was a little Korean woman, 4'10". 4'10". My dad was a white guy from Ohio, 6'5". Okay? Yeah. You ought to see some of the pictures. She was an alcoholic. Pure alcoholic. Drank every day. All the time. I've shared with my wife, I remember as a young kid going to school, if I got a dirt stain on my pants, I remember living in Alaska, I remember getting a dirt stain one day, my brother and I, getting on my, because she was a control freak, got a dirt stain on my, and a clean freak, little dirt stain. I got that dirt stain, I was so scared, because I knew what was going to happen when I got home. It wasn't a one-day beating. It will turn into a two- or three-day odyssey. And I say this, not, you know, my brother lives in Lake City. He'll come. We have the same memories. And I don't say these things. I'm not telling you this to feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you this. This is how the enemy tried to destroy Tom Weichart. So as I remember in Alaska. In Alaska, there's a lot of snow up there. And so I remember getting snow and trying to wash the dirt off my pants. I did it for an hour. I was in the third grade. Couldn't get it out. And I remember going home that night, knowing my mom was going to be drunk. And my dad wasn't home because he was gone. And my brother and I both were physically abused. She would take the old time, the vacuum cleaner handles, the metal ones, you guys remember those? She would use those many times on my brother and I. She would make us hold chairs over our head. Our dining room chairs, we would have to hold her overhead and stand there for hours on end as she sat on the floor drinking and beat our legs. That is what I remember as a kid. I remember when I was 10 years old and my mom found out she had cancer. And you talking about guilt in me because I was happy. I was turmoil. There's a part of me, I love my mom. But there was a part of me, man, I'm glad. Oh my God. And the guilt stayed in me. And it was so deep. And then I remember the day she died when I was 12 years old. And God is my witness. I didn't know if I needed to celebrate or to mourn. Now you tell me, as a 12-year-old kid, to process that was not easy. I was messed up. My father, he was an interesting fellow. He suffered from manic bipolar disorder. Right before I remember at around 9, 10 years old, he tried to commit suicide multiple times. I remember one time at 15 years old coming home and he's laid out on the ground in our house with empty bottles of pills he overdosed. And I remember calling 911 and having them come and to try to revive him and save him, and they did. And that wasn't the only time that happened. I remember visiting him at the VA in Augusta, Georgia. If you've ever been there, there is a lockdown psychiatric ward there. It is more locked down than any prison you'll ever go to. And you walk in there. I remember going in there as a 12-year-old kid, seeing him. Things you should not see. I remember going through that. Then I remember, because of the situation my brother and I were in, we were put into different foster homes. Foster homes are not places that you always find love. There are some that are amazing. Whoop, 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 whoop. There's a couple. First one I went to was, and I'm not going to give you their name, was in Augusta, Georgia. He was an ex, and I think I may have shared it, he was an ex-KKK member. 10 years old. Because we came back from Korea, my mom went into the hospital, my dad was in the hospital. Our grandparents, our American grandparents, didn't want us. They said, no, we can't have them. Go ahead and let the state take care of them. So I was rejected. I was so angry at them. So we end up in this home. And I remember getting there, and then we lived in Georgia, we had no air conditioning. They had locks on the refrigerators. And I say no air conditioning on our side of the house. There was the kid's side and parent's side. The room my brother and I were in was a converted closet. We didn't even have a window to get air. The other two boys that we lived there with were, one was 18, one was 20. They were both there for sexual offense of minors. Perverted. I was exposed to a lot. And again, I'm not saying that to chalk up, go, oh, Tom Walker did this. I'm sharing this because this is what the enemy wanted. Because, see, God knew what he was going to do for me. And I'm sharing this story with you today because I'm hoping it will give you some hope. And I'm not going to go into all the other details, but I can tell you, it was not a fun childhood. And as soon as I turned 17, I saw a way out, and it was the United States Army. I said, I'm getting the heck away from all these crazy people. I am leaving. I'm going to make my own way. And that's what I did. But I remember as a young man and how these spirits that attacked me and then I allowed in me, because I didn't know, but they came in me. I felt rejected. I was always rejected. You talk about a boy with anger problems. My wife will tell you, I think I've shared this story before, we lived in a mobile home when we first got married. There was a door. She locked the door. I said, okay, you want to lock that door? I'll go through the wall. I made my own door. That's not of God. That's not of God. So, and a whole bunch of other things, I believe, as a young person, I allowed or attached itself because of the pain and the hurt and the things that were done to me. And then I remember as a young person, every time something bad would happen, this is what I would think. I deserved it. You ever been there? Something bad happens. I deserve that. Man, I'm not good enough. You ever felt that way? Oh, man, I'm not good enough. But then that day came when I found who Jesus Christ was. And he came into my life and he brought some healing with him. And he changed me forever. And I can tell you, I remember that day. From that day forward, I wasn't all of a sudden all the garbage I was carrying with me gone. But man, there was a change. There was a shift that occurred. There was a war that was about to happen. And it began in me. And Holy Spirit started very slowly. Started removing and exposing and removing and exposing and exposing and removing all this junk that was in me. And then he started putting his love and mercy and grace, and he just filled me with him. And so now I'm able to stand before you as a man of God to say, God is real, God loves you, and he wants to save you from your own hurts and attacks in life. In the beginning of my Christian walk, I was pretty cynical to other people. I had very little patience. And Denise will tell you, people will complain about something. Oh, man, this is hard. Ooh, yeah, man, it's tough. I would go and get in their face like, you don't know what tough is, buddy. Stop whining. Pull your pants up and get to work. It's the truth. Because, see, that's what God wants. God wants people of action. God is not going to do it all for you. You have to embrace his grace. You have to allow his love to transform you. You got to let those things to envelop you, and then you allow it to come out. Because, see, as these spirits come at me now, as I start noticing the other, you know, I start noticing these things, I'll sit there. Denise, man, I saw it. I saw it. It came at me. And I'm not talking to other people. I'm talking about those old spirits that I used to have. Rejection. Somebody in this church wants to leave because I don't preach well enough. That's rejection. And you know what the enemy wants to do? Hey, you know what? You're not good enough. Remember where you came from? You know who you are? You're Tom Weichart, that kid that's an orphan. Nobody loves you. Has anyone ever heard that before? But then when I see it, man, I call it out for what it is. Satan, get behind me. Father God, I love you. I serve a great God. I'm a man walking in truth. You have to make a choice to say, I'm walking with God. You cannot sit there and say, oh God, you know, you do your thing. You do your thing. God wants you to get up off your lazy butt and get to work. Walk with Him. He says to go down the narrow road. He didn't say sit at the gate of the narrow road. He said go. We have to get that within us. We have to understand the love that He has for us. That will conquer all things. Some of the things He taught me at a very young age. And many people will tell you that know me for some time. I will serve until my fingers will fall off. At the other churches I've been to, I will bend over backwards to serve people. Because this is what God told me. You serve even if you don't like them. Because if you serve because I love you and because I served you and you do it because I did it, then I will transform that in your heart. You will act. Because now when you act that way, there is no room for the enemy to come in. Because I will serve my enemy. I will love my enemy. I will do all for my enemy. I will give all to my enemy. Because then the enemy has no place in me. And that's the truth for you. Amen? Turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let me tell you some of the good news. See, what God loved me so much, He already knew He had so much for me. When I was a young man and I was lost and I was living for the world, living for myself, I didn't care about anybody. Oh my gosh, I was so selfish. I didn't care what other people thought. I didn't care. Oh, I did care. But I did things to make sure that they knew I cared and that they will get a repercussion because of what they thought. You ever been there? But this is, oh my gosh. I look back. God, since then, has given me a wife that I've been married to going on my 25th year in February. He has given me two daughters that I love more than life itself. He has given me opportunities that the world would consider vast and great. But I can stand there and say it's not because of me, but I use it to proclaim the greatness of God. When people ask me, how did you end up in the White House serving the president? I sit there and I tell them, because God loved me. That's how. How do you get up there and preach the gospel? Because God loves me, and that's how. And that is the beauty of God. He will get you through. He will get you through. And I can't even go down the relationships of men and women that I have walked with. That He has allowed me to have deep fellowship with and friendships with. He has been so faithful in so many ways that there is, you know, the old man would be like, how can I ever repay Him? But the truth of the matter is there is no way. None. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. You think about that for a moment. If you honor other people above yourself, there is no room for hurt to even set in. There will never be an opportunity for the enemy to send one of his spirits to attach itself to you. If all men honored one another, honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Share. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Let me say this one more time. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those that annoy you. Bless those that frustrate you. Bless those that is mean to you. Bless those that is rude to you. Bless those that cut you off on the highway. Bless those that cuss you out. Bless those that flick you off. Bless those that do things to you. Bless them. and bless and do not curse. Oh, I love those Christians that curse people. It's of the devil. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony. Harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. I can tell you, that right there will change the lives of people. I remember as an officer, I don't dig ditches as a major. I don't have to do a lot of these silly things. And those that have served in the military, you know that. A field grade officer, man, you're not out there digging foxholes and putting sand in sandbags. But one thing I learned, God said, I went out there and I dug it with them. I would go out there. Now, granted, I can't do it the whole day because I got other responsibilities, but I went out there. I showed them I'm there with you. Because you and I are in this together. That's what it shows. It shows I'm committed to you. Regardless of what you have, who you are, what color your skin is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you came from. I'm with you. Do not be conceited. Do we know some conceited people? Maybe you're one. I don't know. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. See, that's where you find your peace. Because see, what we many times want, we want justice. And sometimes God's justice is not quick enough for us. Sometimes God's justice is not the way we want. It is not inflicting as much pain as we had hoped. That's what we have. We want to inflict pain on that person because they hurt me. I want justice today. That's why America, you got 50% divorce rate. That's why you have all... That's for next Sunday. I got a lot for next Sunday. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, your enemy, not your friend, not your family, your enemy. Is anyone in here? You have an enemy in here? Today you need to go take them out to lunch. Call them up. If there's somebody in here you've got a problem with, and they don't even have to sit in here. You got a problem with somebody, you take them out to lunch. Take them out to dinner. Love on them. Guess what? Because God did. And who are you? You above him? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. See? There you go. You want to get... Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. See, as I sit here and explain to you, there's always going to be a hurt. There's going to be a wound because people are going to do that to you. That's going to happen. The battle is what happens after that. That's the battlefield. As we read in Ephesians about the battle that rages in the principalities of heaven, that is when it happens. Because the next step is either you're going to do good, or you're going to allow those evil spirits, those demonic things to come in. And next thing you know, you're going to be doing evil for evil. Does that make sense? Let's rise above. Let's rise above. Today and the rest of this week, what I have learned, Jason, you come up. What I have learned many times is if you stand and you reflect on the faithfulness of God in your life, there's no time to allow the hurt to turn into revenge. There's no time for hurt to turn into pride. There's no time for hurt to turn into anger. There's no time for hurt to turn into anything else, because you give it to Him and He'll bring the healing to you. Everyone understand what I'm saying today? I have a lot more. This is part one of a series. You're probably wondering, what in the world are you going to go next? But I'm telling you, this is the truth. We're shifting as a body. And I can tell you, these are things that God has showed me. That there is a demonic battle that we all fight every day of our life. And if you are not aware of those things, then you become ignorant and you become a casualty of war. I don't want any more casualties, especially in those that I know. Let's be victors walking under the blood of Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Stand to your feet. God loves you. He loves you so much, He gave His only Son to you. Husbands, let me challenge you today. You know the things that are in your home. You know what goes on in your home. You know what stirs your wife. You know the problems with your kids. You know the things within yourself. Even some things in yourself your wife doesn't know. Hello? I challenge you today. Make some time with God. And maybe even with your family. And sit down. And you don't have to go over every nook and cranny. But sit down together as a family and pray. Pray. I'm not sitting here saying for you to be preaching to them or doing something that maybe you're physically or emotionally uncomfortable with. But we can all pray. Pray. And pray for those things that is in your children, that is in your wife or husband. Well, wife for your husband. Husband not for husband. No. But husband and for yourself. Pray to break those bonds, those chains that have held you down. Because when they hold you down, temptation will creep in. And the enemy will have a field day in you. And next thing you know, you're going to be 10 years down the road looking back going, where did my life go? What happened there? Let us pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. It is because of your Son we're able to overcome these things of the world. It is because of the blood of Jesus Christ and at the cross that we go to that we are saved. And by making God our Lord, we are able to overcome all things that the enemy has for us. May the people be able to discern. May the people be able to have the courage to stand up to those things and call it out for what it is. I pray for those chains to be broken. I pray for those bonds to be broken. I pray for those lies to be destroyed. I pray for those things that have enveloped people to be ripped out and filled with the love of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray over everyone. I pray a hedge of protection over their minds, over their spirits, over their homes. I charge the angels of heaven to protect everyone that hears my voice, to guide and lead, to protect their steps and help them through circumstance. And Holy Spirit, convict, speak, lead each of us in all things. In all things. Jesus, I thank you because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And only through you is this possible. We thank you, Father. We glorify you, and may our life be a demonstration, as best as we could do, of your faithfulness on this earth. We thank you. And everyone said, amen. You guys go out and have a wonderful week. Amen.